It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, July 14th. I'm Patricia Naft. A Waldorf-inspired education program in Paonia is a step closer to reality. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The proposed North Fork School of Integrated Studies has enough students signed up to move forward. Delta County Assistant Superintendent Kurt Clay says it will be a school within a school.
And we're looking at trying to combine that within Paonia Elementary School as a different program or a different option for students in the North Fork Valley.
Intent to enroll forms for the K through 4th inspired by Waldorf program were due earlier this month.
Currently, we feel like there's 19 kids who are pretty set on it, with that number potentially going up to 25 to 30.
The Delta County School District is struggling with declining enrollment. Clay says most of the families looking to register their kids for the new school are from outside of the system.
You know, as a district, we're paid per pupil with state reimbursements. And so obviously getting new students into the district helps.
Before the school can launch, it needs to get final approval from the county school board. Clay says the board is set to vote on it this Thursday. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Colorado Department of Transportation's new bus staying service started yesterday. The bus system covers several towns on the Front Range as well as connecting Denver with Glenwood Springs. KVNF's Jake Ryan talked with Bob Wilson, spokesperson for CDOT.
Colorado has survived, I guess, without the bus staying service up until now. Why did CDOT implement this new transit system?
This would give people a choice of what they could do. They have asked for a bus system that would connect all of the larger cities along the Front Range, as well as a lot of the mountain communities. And even people in the blind community have told us, you know, it would be great if we had a system to where we could connect beyond just using a Greyhound, where there would actually be a state system that could be used to connect to some of the larger areas. If we were traveling from, say, Glenwood Springs and needed to go to Denver, we'd have that capability as opposed to just using a Greyhound bus or something along those lines.
You guys are running right now from Denver to Glenwood Springs. Why didn't CDOT push that little extra to connect to Grand Junction, which is a little bit more of a metropolis than Glenwood Springs?
The main thing was to connect to major transit systems. And in the Glenwood Springs area, Glenwood Springs, Aspen, there's the Roaring Fork Authority, Transit Authority, otherwise known as RAFTA. And so the goal was to connect to that transit system, and the people coming up Valley from Aspen, Basalt, Carbondale, all those areas down to Glenwood Springs. And again, as the commission said, walk before you run. And so that's what we did. Instead of expanding to Grand Junction just yet, we started off with Glenwood Springs. But Grand Junction is definitely on our radar, and there have been inquiries made about why don't you go, you know, 90 miles further west, and we're saying we most likely will. We just have to prove to the Transportation Commission that this is a viable service and is worthy of expansion.
That was KVNF's Jake Ryan talking with CDOT's Bob Wilson. The bus route leaves Glenwood Springs at 7 a.m. and arrives in Denver around 10:30. Then it leaves Denver at 6 p.m. in the evening, pulling into Glenwood Springs around 9:45. A food bank that's been operating in Grand Junction since 1978 will have to find a new home for itself by the end of the year. This is Biff Messenger, the vice president of the volunteer board for the Community Food Bank.
We provide emergency food to families in crisis. That means that if you're a family and you lose your job and you're trying to make a decision between paying your rent or buying food, we give you the option of coming to us. We provide emergency food to families in crisis. That means that if you're a family and you lose your job and you're trying to make a decision between paying your rent or buying food, we give you the option of coming to us and we will provide food to your family. We were notified by the county that when our lease is up at the end of December, that then receive a month-to-month lease because the county is anticipating repurposing the building, which wouldn't include us. And they haven't been able to tell us what it's going to be used for, but the 4,500 square feet that we use to store food and refrigerate food and our office for distribution to our clients will go away. And we're in the process of trying to find a new location.
This is a very similar situation that Haven House, a homeless shelter in Montrose, found itself in a little while ago. In that case, too, the county informed the social service that the building's use was changing. Haven House raised a massive amount of money and bought the property outright. Messenger says that the community food bank has never done that kind of fundraising before.
We have one part-time paid employee. We have 40 volunteers, and we have a 12-person board of directors, all volunteers. So all the money that we raise through donations and food drives and everything goes towards buying food. You know, this would be a new thing. We've raised a lot of money in the past, but we go right out and buy food with that money that we raise. So we may have to do something like that. So we're considering that, yes.
A new property might not be centrally located, and rent and utilities would be a burden on the food bank's budget. Messenger hopes the generosity of the community will help provide a new home. The town of Lake City had a pleasant surprise while renovating on their courthouse recently. Workers discovered a time capsule sealed away since 1877. They knew from historic records that a capsule was saved there in the cornerstone, and this month they found it. This is Grant Houston, editor of the Lake City Silver World and the president of the Hinsdale County Historical Society.
They were working on the foundation when they discovered that old cornerstone. It literally popped out and fell into the trench they were working on in preparation for the new foundation. And the coins came out and the copper plate. And there was a Silver World newspaper which had been enclosed in that, but due to the humidity and deterioration, it was in tatters. So the best preserved are these coins, and they're all they're 20-cent pieces, and they're dated 1875 and 1876, and as you'd expect, they're in pretty good condition. And to touch something that has been underground and forgotten for that many years and how Lake City has changed in the intervening decades and centuries is quite fascinating. Susan B. Anthony stood on a spot almost directly over this cornerstone when Susan B. Anthony was urging us to give women the right to vote in September 1877. That time capsule was already in place when she was standing over it. It tickles me that we still have a Silver World newspaper, that there were remnants of the original Silver World that were in that time capsule. Promoting Barlow and Sanderson, that is the quickest and smoothest way to arrive here by stagecoach.
There are plans to include a new time capsule in the new foundation and, perhaps, even a modern copy of the Lake City Silver World. County commissioners from Delta and Mesa counties met recently to discuss the BLM's plan for the Dominguez Escalante National Conservation Area. The area covers parts of both counties, and the BLM is due to release their final resource management plan this fall. The meeting discussed what input the counties have given the BLM. This is Robbie LaValle talking about Delta's input.
Commissioner Atchley, in representing Delta County, stated very clearly that no county roads should be closed that were going into the NCA. And in addition, because of the economic importance, Commissioner Atchley was very adamant that there not be a reduction in the use of the NCA when it comes to livestock grazing.
Commissioner John Justman of Mesa County echoed similar thoughts, noting that half of the county's agriculture is in cattle. Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.